welcome everybody. Welcome to the hashtag LSTS conversation series. This is a three-part conversation intended to delve deeper into topics that I believe are relevant to the culture, definitely dear to my heart, and that are mentioned in the upcoming song that I plan to release at the end of this conversation series. And so you please tune in to part one, part two, part three, to just to kind of go into the conversation. Hopefully there's something you can pick there, and then you can stay up to date with all things pertaining to this conversation and to the song with the hashtag LSTS. This conversation is part one of a three-part conversation series. At the end of the conversation series, I am going to release a single or a song. That's right, free music. And you'll be able to check it out. But right now, we're going to delve into the topic. And I'm so proud to introduce my guest to you guys, Jay Bolin and Frank Cage. What's up, guys?
Hey,
what up?
What's up? Shout out to the people. Man, I could as I always say, man, I could do a very, very long introduction of both of the you guys, of the guests that I brought them to the conversation. But there is no need. I just want you guys to tell them a little bit about yourself, because I know from me, from what I know of you guys, your resume speaks for yourself. So we have an artistic conversation that's about to happen. And I am a music artist, but I've invited you, Frank Cage, who is a graphic design, videographer, all of that, all out of the arts realm. And then we have Jay Bolin, who comes out of the fashion arts realm. And so I just want you guys to just tell a little bit about yourself. Jay Bolin, let's start with you. Tell me what you do and who you do it for.
So I'm Jay Bolin. I'm originally from a really small town in Mississippi called Roxy. Yeah. It's where I grew up. It's where I spent the majority of my life up until 2 years ago. And started out in the fashion industry that I created there myself, getting my fashion degree in Barnes & Noble, which we both know doesn't really exist. But it's where I went and studied and better myself and doing what I do. So eventually, opportunity continued to happen after social media. Yeah. Opportunity continued to fluctuate over. Like, it just kept going higher and higher and higher from my MySpace, my top 10 friends, up to now on Instagram, having over 100,000 friends. God has been very gracious. He's given me the opportunity to work with some phenomenal people that are super influential to the world. Horace Chestnut, Vivica A. Fox, Nicole Ari Parker. We have Mary, which is such a fun, phenomenal group. God has been so good. It's always hard to name everybody. Yeah. I have been blessed with the opportunity to work with over 50 different celebrities in the past 10 years. Like, that's nobody but God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, that's super cool. So in the fashion world, you're very, very plugged in and actually serving and styling the clients, obviously, that you probably, I don't even know, you know what, I'm not going to get into those conversations just yet. Let's go to Frank Cage. Frank, talk to me. Tell us about
what's
your company. Tell me about your company and tell me some of the companies that you service as what you do.
Good deal. Frank Cage, as you said earlier, started off in 2008, so been doing business for a little while now. Just a brief introductory how I sort of got into it. And probably high school, when I graduated, like, I had no clue what I wanted to do. All I knew is that I love the fine arts. So that led me into going to college. I went to school, got my 2-year degree, and I simply went only because I knew that I was going to draw. At the time, I had no clue what graphic design was. Also, during that same phase of my life, God really was sort of dealing with me on some things, and that ultimately led me into what was my, I guess you can say, my Bible at the time, Christian hip hop, man. And so at this time, I'm sort of grooming in Christian hip hop, things of God, introductory to graphic design, and all of this came at once, you know what I mean, in my life, you know, definitely was a Damascus experience for me. So Jay mentioned MySpace, man, like social media, boy.
Yeah.
it was crazy because, you know, the MySpace game was, you know, you have as many friends as possible at that time, you know, then I had just Christian hip hop cats, you know what I'm saying? Because that's all I was following. And I had created my portfolio, put it online, built a website. And man, I went through probably like 1,000 cats, you know what I mean? Copy and pasting the same message. And I led from one individual to another, you know what I mean? And just sort of word of mouth took off from there. Like I said, that was like 2006, 2007 when that happened. Right. And it's amazing because from that message, that post is almost, you know, still sort of riding that wave to this day. You know, God is definitely doing some things with that. Individuals that I've worked with is definitely what I would call the OG, you know what I'm saying, the truth. That's my big homie right there, man. I've done some work for some, done some work for some professional athletes, done some work for Bubba Watson. Work has been featured in Billboard magazines, things of that nature. Tons of ministries, churches. That's really where my heart is. I love doing work for ministries, you know, sort of updating the church, if you will, you know. Tons of small businesses. And you know, here I am today. God has been faithful. I've been doing it full time since 2008, and he's still bringing the clients. I'm still knocking out projects, and it's been a great experience thus far.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. First of all, I got inspired just going with you on the journey of like hitting up 1,000 people via MySpace. Like, talk about grind, yes. Right?
Yeah. Yep. It was real.
Right. You know, you got to actually try to say, hey, look, I'm pursuing a client as opposed to like, yo, this is what I got. And then just running up on the industry saying like, here's my art taking me and or actually, which is a great segue into the conversation. And that is, finding somebody, because I think this new generation is, they get it, you know, you already know that if I just find somebody who's already doing it in my industry, whether that's graphics, fashion, music, culinary arts, it don't matter, like whatever art it is, if I could find somebody who is just already doing it and then they let me, they give me the stamp of approval, then we're in there. And so that's actually a great segue into the title for today's topic, and that is hashtag they said, subtitle the industry stamp of approval. And that is, in the arts, no matter which industry you're in, whether you're singing, painting, any of those things that I just mentioned, you just know that there is a need or a desire to have, so to speak, this industry stamp of approval. But I believe that it comes from having a notable person, a prominent person, prominent figure in that arts industry to say you're what that is, say you're what's up, or it comes from having the popular opinion. Now, those are just my thoughts as to where you get the industry stamp of approval from, like whether it's like having a lot of followers or whether you have like the stamp of approval from somebody in your industry. You got to get that. You just know in the arts world, this is what you need in order for your services to begin to expand. What do you guys think about that? How do you, Jay Bolin, tell me, how do you get the industry stamp of approval in your art form?
That's a very great question. I don't know. I can't even say that it's a stamp of approval, stamp of approval, honestly, because it feels like you're fighting. It's a daily task and fighting to be wanted. Are fighting to get there. And I always laugh at this. It's like, really, where is there? Where are we trying to get to? Our own success lies within our own definition of happiness. Yeah. And so whatever the industry standard is, it's something that was created by a man that did something to make himself happy. So it just continued to pass itself on and trickle down into our mindset now. Mm. So as far as being recognized, I do think that there's a power of the tongue, and that is passing your name along to the next person. That's just the power of networking.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so with that power of networking, I'll never forget, I had a small magazine and I named it for my son, and it was called Denim Magazine, and it was a fashion magazine that was for the everyday man and woman that just wanted, you know, cool fashion tips, affordable fashion tips. And so it was celebrity driven. The magazine was the celebrity side so that we could bait people in to come and look at the magazine. So I reached out to Melinda Williams. Her name is Bird from Soul Food. I'm not sure if y'all remember her. Short hair, very chocolate, beautiful lady. And I reached out to her on MySpace. And I just said, "You're very beautiful, and I can't wait to work with you one day." And she said, "I love your work." And I literally fainted.
Like,
at the time, I was working with a lot of people, like, in my city, you know, like my local radio host, and it just whoever I can get my hands on at that moment. And I was working with a lot of gospel people as well. And so a lot of the gospel people that had at the top of the gospel game, they weren't trying to hear what I was saying. I was a newbie, just coming in the market, and no access to anything, no resources really, just kind of a brother hustling, trying to make a dream happen.
Yeah.
And so when Melinda found out exactly what I did, where I was located, she flew into Mississippi. When I told her about my dream of the magazine and how I wanted her to be the first cover, she literally got on a plane by herself and came to Mississippi and did a photo shoot. And it blew up from there. At that time, people were we were happy to be getting on outlets like Media Takeout,
yeah,
and the YBF, and all those places were like the big places. So now it's like the Shade Room and all that, yeah, and Fashion Bum Daily. But at that time, those were our media outlets. And so I remember everybody going nuts. And so she literally I remember publicists hitting me up from Hollywood, asking me, like, where are we based? Well, we're in New York City, where we're in Los Angeles, and we're like, we're in Mississippi, and there's three people running this magazine, and we're doing it very organic, no money and no nothing, but we just made it happen off of just our gifts and our talents.
Right.
And so she ended up passing her name along to Nicole Ari Parker flew in to come and do her photo shoot. Then after Nicole Ari Parker told her husband, who was Boris Kodjoe. Then after Boris Kodjoe, Nicole told Vivica Fox. And Vivica Fox ended up telling Cynthia Bailey. And Cynthia Bailey ended up telling NeNe Leakes. So it was a flow. And so along with all of this, it was helping me to build a lot of things. It was helping me to build my reputation in the industry. It was helping me to gain my resources and to make people a believer of who I am and what I do. And so I think it comes from taking a chance. I think it comes by when that chance happens, when that chance looks like it's about to happen, holding on to it and putting the hard work in with it.
Right. So, yeah.
So I worked my butt off.
Yeah, so you're not, butt off. Like, you don't never really, what is the real stamp of fruit? Like you, in fashion, you don't believe like there's ever a time where you feel like you just have this. It's just, you just keep working, and of course networking was an important part, but overall it's like once you get that that little momentum, you just keep letting it roll and letting it snowball. Is that, you feel like it's more of a snowball?
Yeah. And if you're a real artist, always, we're always looking at how we can beat what we've done, but we never have a chance. Most of us never really have a chance to take in the greatness that has happened for us, because we're all, before we even get to the next thing happening, we're already thinking about the next thing.
Right.
That's just the way our minds operate. We're always thinking about what's new. We're leaders. Right. So we're always thinking about what's new, what's fresh, what's innovative. And so we're always on the go. So there'll never be a comfortable moment for us. And the ones who are comfortable in the market are usually stagnant, or their business end up being short term.
That's good.
Wow. I want to ask you, Frank, as well, what do you believe, how do you believe you get this industry stamp of approval in the arts realm?
If I had to say what the stamp would be, you know, in my field, I think it's longevity. I think it's experience. There's tons of graphic designers, you know.
Yeah.
The field is very competitive, you know, especially with social media. You know what I mean? I still get a kick when I get new clients. It just bugs me out because there's there's so many of us out there, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I follow some of the cats that are way better than the things that I'm doing. So I'm like, man, this guy is really bad. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think that's the stamp, you know what I mean? Because to sort of have that repeat, you know, clientele
that's
coming
true back
to you over and over, year after year, you know. And as Jay was saying, you know, as an artist, we're always looking to do that piece even better, you know what I mean? And that, and executing that, I think that's the stamp right there.
Like Frank, you said that early on, you kind of was looking for that stamp of approval. Jay, you said that when you had the actor that says they flew down to be a part of your magazine, you're like, ooh, you almost fainted, you know? That's because we all understand that when we get that, when we get that type of momentum of stamp or whatever it is we want to call it, I think it gives us like an Oprah effect. Like, now, not everybody has the Oprah effect, right? Because Oprah is a thing in and of herself. But you know what I mean by that, right? Like, if Oprah brought you on her show back when she was, you know, on daytime television, if she brought you on her show and talked about your book or your newest, the Snuggie, whatever it was, like, if she talked about it, the product is going, it's going to be out of there, you know. Now, I don't know if people still wear Snuggies, but when Oprah said they were tight, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? You've seen it, like, you know, there's like the Oprah's book list. Like, if Oprah says read this, then your books are just and so I think the reason why some artists they seek that is because they feel like that's gonna happen. But so here's my next question. If you get that, if you get the Oprah button push, if you get the actor that says they're gonna be on your magazine, if you're in your space that you kind of got your anchor in, Frank and CHH, if you get that button pushed on you, what effect does it have for the artist when we do get a stamp of approval, when we do get the industry's head nod? Like, what effect does that have? You know, especially in your industries.
It could go either way when that person gets, when you get, quote unquote, the green light of like the welcome into the mainstream world, into the industry. It could go either way. One way is that you're going to be grateful, you're going to get in, you're going to work hard, and you're going to continue to grow, and you're going to take care of the gift that God has given you.
Yeah.
Or you can become, you can get a big ego, and you can start feeling yourself, and you can start rotting off of the emotions of what other people tell you you are, how good you are, which is something I definitely try my best not to do. So I get people saying, oh my God, I like your work. Oh my God, I love your work all the time. But I promised myself from the beginning, like, don't get stuck in that. Don't let that get into your head, what people are saying. Because as soon as something goes wrong or go bad, that same community of people will bash you. So if your gift or your calling is riding off of what people are saying and how they amp you up and pump you up, then you're only roller coaster, and who wants to be on it? So we already got enough emotional roller coasters going on, so we don't need those other emotional roller coasters. You know, it's family, it's friendships, it's called finances.
Hello.
It's your entrepreneurship of just your business in general. Mm-hmm. Just trying to maintain, Lord.
So I know, Jay, what you said. One of my questions was going to be for you guys is, like, whose stamp of approval did you want, you know, at first? But, and I don't know if I want you to, mention that name. Be bold. Be brave. Say it. Whose stamp of approval did you want at first? And then you were like, now that you're looking back on, like, I'm talking about when you first started, or, like, maybe in the first 1 to 3 years in that first couple years, that you were like, man, if I get this person to, you know, if I can get this particular media outlet, if I can get, like, who was it that you wanted to cover you? Like, who did you want to say and speak well of you or to endorse you? Or who was it? Like, tell me. it probably don't even matter now, but it's like, just tell us.
I mean, I'm a jump out there. Yeah. I mean, two people. Number one was definitely my mama, because I mean, I was a knucklehead, you know what I mean? So I just wanted her to see, you know, that I had tightened up, man.
Yeah.
I had tightened up.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing now, I mean, it's such a big piece of just my testimony and just my identity and who God has called me to be. Outside of moms, man, I'm gonna say the big homie Truth. To this day, man, I don't even know how we connected and got to working. I don't even know, you know what I'm saying? And it's not even anything that I prayed about. But I remember when I did one of his covers, I sat back and I looked at the cover and just was grateful, you know what I mean, how that cycle had sort of happened.
Yeah.
And the homie shot a tweet out, you know what I'm saying, and just sort of saluted. It was more of a, I felt it was almost more of a confirmation.
Yeah.
That's the word I want to use. You know what I'm saying? Not more of a stamp, but it felt more of a confirmation, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like God is good. This is what I've been called to do. And yeah.
Absolutely. I like that you just said that, because I would like to say to anybody that's like seeking out, like there's this one person, there's this somebody that I just feel like if I could do something with them or do something, work with, for, however, like it would just mean the world. And or like what Jay Boland is saying, like the people who are just, you want people to begin speaking well of you, just people in general at large, doesn't have to be a personal prominence, whether either or. I just would always encourage people to like take all of that, whether the opportunity to work with that person from a stamp of approval or the opportunity to begin to get spoken well of by the popular, by the masses, take that as confirmation and not validation.
That's good.
Because what's happening is it's almost like this understanding that if I can get them to do it, then that would mean if I can get this person to say it, or if I can get this many thousand people to follow, or this many, like, it's almost like they're validating my art. Like, man, that's when it's mm-hmm. good. I know it's good if they say it. Like, mm-hmm. it's not good because they said. They said because it was good.
And I hope I'm answering this correctly. So, like, kind of going back off of what he said, I've always wanted my mom and my dad to like what I do or to help me out with what I do.
Yeah.
As far as somebody in the industry that I always felt like I wanted to hear that yes from, I think it was when I first started, there was a publicist out there that represented a lot of people. And I really wanted that publicist to believe in me, because if that publicist believed in me, it was going to give me access to be able to, you know, do wardrobe for all those different celebrities or those high profiles. Mm-hmm. And that person never gave me a chance, ever. And I remember seeing them backstage at an award show. And we both were on the side, on the same side of the red rope. And he literally looked at me and asked, how did you get here? Like, how did you get on this side?
Right. Mm-hmm. Hey, what are you?
and he's still great at what he does. Even now, he's still great at what he does. And I've actually shared this with him years later, like that moment of you doubting me, that moment of you making me feel like I didn't belong, that made me search for something within myself that I was able to get my assurance from my own self, that I didn't get it from other people. And it was a tough journey, taking a lot of notes and people telling you where you were was not going to work for you. And so I stayed there, and I always fought and said that I will make it while being in Mississippi, and then if I decide to leave, it'll be for my own pleasure. It won't be because people told me I had to leave to go and succeed. So between the industry agencies, and when I say agencies, we're speaking of agencies that represent fashion stylists, agencies that represent hairstylists and makeup artists, because those are the ones that were booking people for Essence and for the Essence cover shoots and for music videos. And I, 2 months ago, that agency followed me on my Instagram page. It's been over a decade.
Over a decade now. Had you been still waiting on that stamp of approval, you would have never got started.
Come on now.
So I'm happy you weren't waiting. that's why I'm happy you weren't waiting on that for some type of validation. But you guys said something that this was not in my notes, and I actually didn't factor this group of people into the they said. I got the they said as in the prominent person, the they said as in the popularity, the masses, popular opinion. But y'all mentioned something that's important too, and that is in your artistic endeavors, you want your family, you want that stamp, you want them to say, so for me, I wanted, out of everybody in my family, I wanted my grandmother to say, my grandmother's passed since recently, but she is so, such a stickler about things. I wanted her stamp of approval. She said, I haven't seen TV and everything or the other, and you look about like the folk on TV, so you're professional, And I'm like, man, that is a stamp that we all really, really want. But I just don't want people out here waiting for their family to sign off. Just like the agency didn't sign off. You also don't want to wait on, go forward in what you believe you're called to. You know what I mean? Go forward in what you believe is your purpose. They may not always say, Now, when outside of family, when you're talking about people in your industry who matter, who give you access, or the people of prominence, sometimes they don't always give the green light. They don't always give the yes. They don't always give the stamp. I'm not sure. It's not always a technical decision. Do they always reward the most talented, or does it just reward the most connected? What have you done in your industry?
So my definition of rewarding is a paycheck. So,
yeah. Well, what I'm saying is
that's my definition.
Right. So so for example, in the music realm, right? Right now, there whoever has risen to prominence, there's somebody who is not really that good, but they're popular. Right, they're not really good on the technical level of what makes music well, what makes it sonically good or whatever, anything like that, but they're popular. They've caught on for whatever big drama or scandal or whatever reason they're on. And while they have that platform, they have the ability to actually grant a stamp, grant a yes, or grant a go, a green light, to somebody who's maybe not as talented as well. They could just give it to somebody who they're just connected to. I don't know. What do you think about that? What do you think about that, Frank? Do you believe that the stamp is always given?
I think in my lane I would say it's probably towards the individual that I would say worked the hardest, man.
Mm-hmm.
Worked the hardest as in?
Because all right. Let's speak on the music. You know what I mean? There's the artistic expression of that, but there's also, the business side of it. You know what I mean? Going into the graphic design, yes, there's the creative side, but there's also customer service. Yeah. There's also, there's other elements that, that you can work hard in that will set you apart. You know what I mean? It isn't always just based on this artist is dope at what he does. You know what I mean? One niche that I found that I do very well, that a lot of designers don't, is I listen good. I love to listen. You know what I mean? I love to listen. With that, and you connect it with some discernment, you know what I mean? And you're able to pull out some pieces, you know what I mean? For the individual that you're working with, that other people can't do, you know? I think it just really boils down on.
So the hardest work. So hardest working could be some soft skill, or it can be a hard skill, but it's something that they're doing with their business that's that they're working. They're just constantly working, whether it be the most talented, it's just the most active or something like that. Is that what you're saying?
Definitely. Yep.
All right, Jay, you were getting ready to say something about what rewarding
is. A lot of the people. I think that a lot of the people that have that platform now, so when we say they're connected, people get connected for a reason. So it's either their hard work that they did in networking, their hard work that they did as in, because it takes a lot of work to go to a network. It takes a lot of energy out of you. It takes a lot to go to all these mix and mingles, going to, you know what I mean? To
right.
All of the industry has to offer. It takes up a lot of energy to do that. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of money. You know, whether you're investing in your look to even go to these events and stuff. So for me, I think that's a fearless side. They're fearless people and they're hardworking. So they may not have the talent, but they're fearless and they're hardworking, which makes them just as compatible at the end of the day. Yeah. Because if you have that gifted person who won't put in the work, then what does that do for them? Mm-hmm. Does that mean that the person that is not gifted and works really hard is not supposed to have? Because the gifted people are quote unquote lazy, yeah. Or lazier, or as more doubtful, or not as assured themselves in their own gift. I think a lot of times that they don't even know what their gift is. Sometimes it's a blessing that they don't even know what their gift is, and they go after what they actually want because they feel like they have nothing to lose. So they go at everything fearless. Mm-hmm. With us, we love and adore our gifts and our crafts. We put our hearts in it, so we don't want to lose it. We don't want to fail at it. We're just afraid of doing that.
Yeah.
So I think it's just two sides to it, honestly.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's good stuff right there. I really appreciate the perspective that both of you guys added, and that is not necessarily the most connected in the sense. It's anybody that gets connected. So for what you're saying, you don't get connected because what it makes it seem like you work hard to get connected. And I know that that's not always the case, though. Not necessarily to play the advocate, devil's advocate or whatever, because I don't believe in playing. Some people just get connected based on, it's not necessarily hard work. It'd be some other reason. There's some other things that can get you connected, and it's not work always. Some bribery can happen, you know. It could be anything like that. And so, I definitely understand what you guys are saying. So matter of fact, it was said to me, like, by a group of gentlemen, that a woman could post a picture and post a selfie, and she could be a very modestly dressed woman. And then another woman can post a picture, and she's half naked. And not necessarily did she work hard or anything like that, but she's just naked. And so you're going to have a million likes on that, of course. And so there's just not always – it's not always as cut and dry. I think the generation that we live in affect the way the arts community, like, I think it's like, so looking at music, right? So you got to say like working hard. Whereas back in the day in music, they were just trying to find the most talented. They were trying to discover who was the most talented, you know? And then once you got discovered, you worked hard. But now it's like, you got to work hard, you know, on the front end. It's interesting, man. Super duper, super interesting. I want to move to the next question here, and we're going to go ahead and get it wrapped up. But based on, and I kind of feel like maybe I know what your answers are, but do we feel like in the arts community, when you're talking about any art form, do we feel like we are, instead of just now, we're just not getting just like the most talented, we're getting the most talented and driven? Based on the way society is now, you know, like you gotta have that grind and you gotta have talent. Like, do we feel like if you just don't have that grind and that hustle and are willing to exhaust yourself to break into a network, will it stifle real talent from getting through? What do y'all think? Jay, I'm gonna ask you. What do you think?
Well, I a quote by Damon Dash, there's a book called The Power of Broke, and I think it says, if you have to survive if you have to succeed to survive, then you will. People, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, everybody just want their bills paid. Everybody yeah. just want to eat. And everybody want to be able to do a few lavish things and be comfortable in their own household. That's just the modern way of thinking. It's the old way of thinking. It's just life in general.
Mm-hmm.
So there's longevity in a lot of it, and there's short-term. A lot of the short-term people are the people who get in it, and it's quick, and it's easy, and it's fun, and they find the really cool ways of getting around. That's what I call the microwave generation. You know, they want that. It's the now fact, the now factor. The people who build their foundation on solid ground, and they hard working, and they don't take any short steps, and they go through all the tragedies of what the industry may give us or what life may give us in general, we're the people that usually we don't take anything for granted. We're grateful for every moment, and we're going to work hard at every single thing that's given to us. And yeah. we're going to appreciate every single thing that comes our way.
Right. Absolutely. If you are really talented and you want your art to speak to the culture and you want to survive, because that's, if you want to survive, then you will succeed because you will do whatever it takes. Is that what, that's what you're saying?
Tell you, I was so scared to leave my 9-to-5 job. Trust me, coming from my kind of family, that everybody, there's no entrepreneurs in the family.
Yeah.
So leave and for my wife, for me to be married, and she has older brothers and older sisters that are looking for me to take care of their little sister.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I did it, and I was so scared to do it. Then when I did it, we ended up losing everything. We ended up losing our house. We ended up getting both of our cars repoed. We ended up becoming homeless to not having anything. We ended up losing everything in our in storage. Everything in storage was literally auctioned away in front of our faces. And then we found out we were pregnant with my son.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm fucking daddy. And I can't hardly be a husband. And I can't take care of nothing at all. But I'm still seeking a dream. And I still don't have my family's approval. I don't even have the industry telling me no at the same time. But I'm still a brother who's still seeking something that's burning deep down on the inside of me. And I'm like, God, why?
Yeah.
Why was I chosen to go through this journey? This does not feel good. I don't want to be here. Help me get out of it. So we moved to the hood, and we moved to a 4-bedroom that cost us $300 a month.
Right.
You know what that was.
Right. You want.
And we literally.
You downsized.
We got into what we could. It wasn't even downsizing. It was like, at this point, we're at zero. We're outside. We weren't downsizing. We were outside at this moment. And so we had to move from there and to do something to better ourselves. So I feel like then I could understand it, but now looking at it, I'm like, that was a moment where God was literally stripping us of everything, like our pride, our egos, because we did come up from families that had everything we ever wanted. I didn't want for anything coming up, you know, my childhood. But the one very thing that I wanted was out of reach of my parents' hands, out of reach of my hands, out of reach of everybody's hands that I longed for. And it was in God's hands. And so he had to strip a lot of things away. I had to release in order to receive. If you don't go get your destiny, destiny will come and get you. And it's way easier.
Hold on,
it's
right
way
quick. Hold on,
to... Say that, bro.
You're giving me too much. So I know you're giving me too much. Give me that one right there again. Go give me that right there. Say it again. You can't just roll past that like that.
I said, if you don't go get your destiny. If you don't go and get your destiny, destiny will come and get you.
Sure.
And it is. I feel good when destiny has to chase you down. Because destiny will chase you down with tragedy, okay? Mm-hmm. Hard times, with heartache, with heartbreaks. That's the way destiny comes to get you. Now, if you go get destiny, then there's a little more of a peaceful way of doing that.
Right.
It's because you're literally on the right track and you're seeking But God said, if you knock, he will answer. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And if you're seeking for something else and you're all over the place, that's not the desires of your heart. You're not going to give it to you. You're going in circles. And then that destiny got to come and find you and strip you of your house, your cars, your furniture. Now you got to go and live in the hood and everybody knocking on your door, harassing you, breaking in your home. And you just a brother trying to make a dollar.
Wow.
Keep your lights on.
Wow. Goodness.
So I encourage anybody, go find destiny. You don't want to come looking for you.
Right. Man,
I sound like Jonas right there.
Yeah. That's so true.
Right.
I think that's to Jonas.
Yeah.
Man, it's so interesting to hear your story, because people kind of look at what you're doing now. Some of the names that you mentioned earlier, Vivica Fox and Ben Stallion at the Golden Globes and just all the things that you're doing now, and would not know the dues that you paid, not to the art industry, but just that you paid in life and what you and your family walked through to get to where you are, man. I would ask you to say something inspiring to upcoming people in the fashion industry, but if they're not inspired by now, then they just, you know what, they're not gonna rewind it. Just hit rewind. I'm not gonna tell them to say nothing else.
Yes.
Man, Frank, I want to ask you this before we conclude the call here, because it's already like, I'm already blessed based on everything that was said. What would you say to I guess, like, graphic designers who are trying to land, like, or graphic designers? Because I know you're not just getting graphic design. Like, you're more of a brand developer as well, which is an art as well. What would you say to those people who are just trying to seek their next big placement or trying to get some type of stamp of approval? Given everything that you know, everything that Jay has said, like, what would you tell them right now? Like, what should they really be focusing on? Should they be trying to get a stamp? Should they be trying to get a mentor? Should they be just trying to get a job? What should somebody do as an artist at this point?
Man, suffering well. We've heard the phrase, you know, the starving artist, so to speak. You know what I mean? And I think that connects with the sacrifice that goes in it. You know what I mean? Like, it takes a while for your artistry to really be, I guess you can say, appreciated. I mean, definitely to the point where people are paying for it, you know. But with that being said, as you're sort of going through that cycle, you got to be sensitive to be at a place where you can still cultivate your creativity.
Yeah.
I think some people make a mistake of, you know, just because the life that we're in, we know that we got to pay bills, you know, but mm-hmm. some people make a mistake in going to jobs or gigs just because of the payment behind it. But it's something that they hate. Before you know it, you know what I mean? That energy that they had, that creativity, that life, that passion that they had, wow. It slowly begins to sort of die down. There's a piece of advice that I would give, you know, when I was starting off, even though I know I wanted to do this full time, I didn't just take any jobs, even though that they were paying more. I went to sign shops, you know, things that I was still doing somewhat of what I wanted to do. It wasn't exact, but from there, I was still stirring up my creativity. I went in there with a notebook. My mindset is I'm going to school and I'm getting paid for it. So I literally was in the sign shop asking the owner questions, different things of that nature that I'm applying to my business to this day. Wow. So just being sensitive to when you are in the beginning stages of it, that this is a marathon. You want to set your foundation solid, you know, and you don't think Jay mentioned sort of that microwave mentality. I mean, that's good for a temporary fix. But, you know, if you're really going after, you know, passion and vision, you want that foundation solid, you know what I mean? And then shortcuts to that, you know what I mean? So that's what I'm in the process and focus on, you know, that promise that's in you.
That's what's up, man. I love the fact that you gave, of course, not to despise small beginnings, be faithful over what you have, but you gave a practical piece of advice. And that is while you're, because you need to meet some things financially until your creativity and your artistry is able to support you full time, at least still seek out positions that don't drain your creativity, because that's the cycle where you're trying to go. They will never say if you get drained. They said that boy ain't good no more now. But now you want to find something to that's a really sound piece of advice. Jay Boland, do you have a technical piece of advice that you want to that you'd like to give, like something that aspiring people in the arts, in the fashion arts world could, that they could be doing, or that they could be doing differently that you're not seeing done? So like they're watching this, they don't always, you know, they've heard all the other. Go ahead.
I would say the biggest thing that I see that's lacking a lot in the business, especially in the African American community, would be the business side of it. Whereas a lot of us are really gifted, but then we don't have our business together. The business side is what keeps us from being either wealthy, and it also keeps us from having longevity in the market. The majority of people that put business into it, people that attract money, attract great wealth and great health.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they create great balance, boundaries, and good contracts. You find yourself not being overworked. When you're doing business,
yeah.
Here's the trickle down. You're doing business, new contracts, people sign contracts, people pay checks on time, people respect your time more. You're setting boundaries, setting limits. You can go home, you can sleep, and you have good night's sleep. You can eat well. You have good health.
Come on.
Wake up the next day and you can be better than you were yesterday.
Yep.
But it's nothing like no contracts, getting burned, clients not respecting you, your time being misused,
absolutely,
to getting no sleep, to waking up the next day, an hour after you went to sleep. Look at the mess. Can't give somebody else your best, and then you're still trying to figure out how you're gonna get paid and how you're going home at night trying to figure out how you're gonna pay your light bill. After you've given somebody else your all, you've given away all. It's just like casting your pearls to the swine.
Absolutely.
You give all to everybody else, but then your home and your own body and your own life lacks.
Right.
Because you give away for the lack of knowledge of business or implementing business into your craft.
Absolutely.
So if anything I say is that the craft is in us already, the gift is in us. It's cool to educate ourselves and to be great in that world and continue to educate ourselves and become greater. But at the end of the day, the business side of it, there's a plan that has already been put in place, and all we have to do is follow that.
Right.
That's good.
Absolutely. This is why I wanted both of you guys on the conversation, because y'all add such different but on point perspectives. Like, find something that doesn't drain your creativity, and basically artists have the ability to not survive but to thrive and achieve great success if they add a corporate structure to the artistry. You know, it can't just be the technicality of all the what makes. I mean, your cakes, if you're a culinary or you're a baker and your cakes taste, they good now, but just get your business together. Like, that is sound advice, man. If you guys are not inspired by this point, you know, I don't know what will inspire you. No, I know what it is. Part two. Tune in to part two, man, of the conversation series. And keep rocking with us with the hashtag LSTS conversations and the song that will be coming out. Anyway, before I talk more about that, I actually want to just thank both of my guests for being here. Frank Cage, I really appreciate you. Jay Boland, first of all, Jay, I appreciate you because you are someone I know that you have a ton of stamps of approval from celebrities and all that kind of stuff. But you, when you decided that you rocked with me, it wasn't because somebody else told you, oh, she's tight. That girl can rap. You know, you were able to recognize that by yourself. And that's one of the things that I believe that.
You literally blew my mind on stage, and I became an instant fan.
That's crazy.
And you had grown up, wherever I knew you were going to be, I would literally try to show up at that location just so I could have the pleasure of being a fan in the audience. So
that's crazy. Listen, Hashi Tashi. Hashi Tashi. I appreciate that. That, to me, man.
Thank you.
Frank as well, like, you guys are killing it in your respective industries, and neither of you guys said, I'm not saying that I don't have any type of yeses or stamps or any of those types of things. I do, but I'm saying that they didn't wait for somebody else to say. We do that with other art forms, but maybe with, not with food, maybe not with culinary. We want to taste and see that the food is good. I don't need you to tell me. I don't care what celebrity I hear. If it's nasty, it's nasty. No, but with other art forms, we tend to be like, oh, okay, well, such and such said. You know, it's like, man, if you're a patron, begin to appreciate the arts for what they are, and don't wait for somebody else to say. Because here, and as artists, we sure aren't waiting for that. We want to know that our art is serving you guys well. Jay Bowling, man, thank you so much for being with me. I really, 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 really appreciate you. Frank, I appreciate you as well. How can the people follow you guys? No. Frank, how can people follow you and be a part of what you have going on?
IG, Cage Design Studios, Facebook, Frank Cage 11, website, cagedesignstudios.com. Check me out.
You see what I'm saying? Consistent branding, Cage Design Studios everywhere. That's what's up. I appreciate it. Follow him. He does really, really great work. And if you're looking for just to see what he's doing and just to stay inspired, he takes you on a journey through his creative process and how he gets to the creativity that helps art. Like, it's just cool. So follow him. Jay, how can people follow you or be a part of what you're doing, or just kind of keep up with what you have going on?
You can follow me at Stylist Jay Bowling. That's my website. That's my MySpace. That's my Instagram. That's my Facebook. Just type in Stylist Jay Bowling, and that brings you into my world of fashion, faith, love, and laughter.
You see what I'm saying? Consistency. Consistency on the brand. Y'all better pick up these little nuggets. Follow Jay Bowling. Hashtag. You got a hashtag. Tell them about the hashtag.
It's called hashtag rolling with Jay Bowling. So basically, that's just my life in general. It's funny stuff. It's my work. It's me on the roll. So you'll get the experience, literally what I just said. You know, fashion, faith, love, and laughter.
Absolutely. If you ever just wanted to run around with a fashion stylist, wardrobe consultant, and just kind of roll with them, you can roll with them, all right? But hashtag rolling with Jay Bowling. Man, I appreciate you guys. Y'all feel free to chime out from here. Much love, much respect. You guys have spoke well. And if the industry doesn't ever give you that stamp of approval, listen, boom, y'all both got it from me. Peace out.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Sean.
All right. Now, for those of you guys who have stayed till the end, I really, really appreciate you for listening to the entire conversation. Was it that good? That's a question. That was a rhetorical answer. No, seriously, man, that was really, really good. First part of the conversation, hashtag they said, subtitle, industry stamp of approval with our guests, Frank Cage and Jay Bowling, man. Man, they are both killing it in their industries, man. If you're an aspiring artist, if you're an artist that's already out there and looking to go to the next edge, please rewind this. Look at that poet. You see what I just did there? Go back, rewind this, man, and find some nuggets in there to keep you going. And for everybody, all of my followers and everything, please stay tuned to the next part of the series, part two, and that's going to be hashtag she said. Subtitle, Women in Hip Hop. Special guest, I would announce, but I just want you to stay tuned. And again, please, please remember to stay tuned with all things pertaining to this conversation and to the song that's going to be released at the end of the conversation via the hashtag LSTS. Man, much love. I said it once, I said it twice, but I'll say it this time and mean it with all my heart. You guys are amazing.